This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, good evening and welcome to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach Gus Bradley talking a little bit about last week's victory over the Titans and looking forward to Sunday's kickoff against the Arizona Cardinals. You may or you may not know, but Sunday is Military Appreciation Day here at EverBank Field. We invite you all to come show your support for the great men and women who serve America as the Jaguars play the Cardinals. Military Appreciation Day, proudly sponsored by our friends at CSX and Florida Blue. And with that, I know you've heard it all week long, Coach. Your phone probably blew up on Sunday night, but congratulations on getting that first win and validating everything that you've been working towards.
Yeah, you know, it was a great feeling. And, you know, we celebrated in the locker room and went back to work on Monday. You know, you have that 24-hour rule, but it's been a good week.
It feels good, doesn't it? Going during the week, you know?
Yeah, it feels real good. No, it does. And I think, like you said, Brian, the part of validating, you know, where you go through this process and they really believed in it and they did it perfectly in the game. You know, as far as just worrying about themselves, they came out, tried to be their best. And, you know, that game could have gone either way at the end there, but they stuck to it. And, you know, I give them credit for finishing.
Now, you've had 2 days of preparation for the Cardinals. Has it been the same? You know, because, you know, you don't ever want your team to change the way they prepare.
Right. I think, you know, as a coach, you try to get it the same or just a little bit better than it was the week before. And, you know, each week is different. You know, I think the guys come out with a very business-like mentality, a very focused, very effective. And we got a lot accomplished in these 2 days.
Will you tell the story real quick? And I know you've told it to a couple of different audiences about Derek Brooks' conversation with you after your first big game as the defensive coordinator with the Seattle Seahawks. It was a big win, I think, over the Cardinals, right?
Right.
And the point,
St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. Okay. Well, I'm from St. Louis, so I still think of the Cardinals as St. Louis. Sorry about that. The reality of it is that it's exactly what you're trying to achieve with this young team this week, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it was my first opportunity as a defensive coordinator. And we won 28-0, shut out St. Louis. And after the game, obviously we're excited and got in the car. And Derek Brooks called me and said, "Hey, Gus, congratulations on the win. And that's awesome. I suppose you're going to go and meet the fans and go some big steak place and get steak and lobster." And it was I was thinking about it. No, I wasn't lying.
Yes, you were.
I'm thinking about sticking red wine all the time anyway.
Yeah, right.
No, but I said, "You know, why is that, Brooks?" He said, "You know what? You need to go home and eat crumbs. And stay away from the steak and lobster." And he taught me a great deal about humility. And I think, you know, it's so important to have that humility because you keep your mind open, to get better. And it's that simple. But it's something that really resonated with me.
How good will it be coming home dealing with humility?
It's great. I mean, you know, the Military Appreciation Day.
It'll be a big day.
You know, that's huge. And, you know, my dad was in the Navy, and, you know, to have a day like this and be a part of it is, you know, I hear so much about it and, you know, how excited everybody is about it. And to be a part of it is something I look forward to.
We're slightly biased. We think this is the best military town in the NFL. There are some people in San Diego that would argue and some folks up in southern Virginia, Norfolk, that would probably argue. But we think this is as good a town as you'll find for a Military Appreciation Day. There's a flyover coming up. Private group, they're going to fly L-39s over. We haven't had that. When that happens, man, this place goes nuts.
Oh, that's great. You know, I just can't wait to be a part of it. I know we've got a couple days left, but, you know, what a feeling. And I know what you're talking about because I've lived here a short period of time, but just being out and about and seeing the military presence has been great.
The big question this week is, where's Paul Posluszny at after taking a pretty vicious hit last Sunday?
Well, he's still under the NFL protocol, you know, the concussion test, so he's yet to be cleared. So he just has to go through all the tests, and, you know, he'll go through more of it tomorrow, and then we'll just wait and see. And, you know, it's really good for the players now. It really is. You know, they really check in depth. It's multiple parts of the test they have to take, and it's really, you know, to protect the safety of the players.
And Stephen Burton, a guy who missed, what, 5 games early this year, comes back at Tennessee and took a hit to the head.
Right.
He's in the program as well, right?
Yeah, he is too. So he's got to follow the same procedures. And, you know, we have to wait and see with these guys.
Will Rackley, another guy that did not play last week because of a concussion. Is he okay?
Yeah, he did practice today, you know, went through some agility and conditioning, so that's a good step. That's a good step.
All right, our phone lines are open for you to visit with the head coach this evening, 800-355-6351. Or if you're in Jacksonville, 355-NFL1 gets you through to Gus here on the Gus Bradley Show. And you can join the coach this Saturday here at Everbank Field for the 4th Annual McKenzie's Run. It's a 5K run and walk plus a 1-mile fun run. And it benefits programs that help youth recognize their full potential. If you haven't been out to McKenzie's Run, make this the year. And if you'd like to run, register your team at McKenzie'sRun.org. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, Jaguars fans, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get yourself caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman back with the head coach. You know, we talked about turnovers with your football team, but defensively, Coach, I think the thing that was probably that most impressed me was your ability to stop the run. Because all year long, we had seen guys, you know, teams put together 130, 140, 150
right.
yards. Chris Johnson had 30 yards. Sean Green had less than 30 yards. You held them to 83. It was your best performance yet. What made that work? And if you have to go without Paul Posluszny, can you do it again?
Right. Great questions. First of all, coming out of the bye week, we really, you know, studied and analyzed it. And we felt like you know, maybe there's a chance that we try to do too much, you know, with our young guys. And I think that we really pared it down. The defensive staff did a great job with it. They pared it down, had conviction over what we wanted to do. And normally in practice, you do walkthrough of plays and reps. We took more time individual, went back to more of our tackling techniques and our fundamentals, you know, block protection, getting off blocks, and really utilized that extra day that we had, that bonus Monday, to revisit really how we think it all should fit together. And it was good. The players, you could just tell during the week, too, the players really gained confidence through that. So that was a good thing. As far as with Puz, you know, we can duplicate it. He's a very good player. He's a lead of our defense and makes all the calls. And right now, Russell Allen is doing that for us and has really taken ownership into it. So it'll be a great challenge for Russell with, you know, and it's all based on, we don't know yet for sure on Puz where he's going to be. But if he will not be able to play or should not be able to play, then Russell Allen will step up and play.
Logs, you came in the other day, Monday I think it was, and you started raving about Andre Ellington, this young sixth-round draft choice from Clemson. So, I mean, take this one and talk about it, what you've seen on film from him, Coach. I know you've watched a lot of it as well.
Well, the amazing part was, I mean, we're talking about a sixth-round pick rookie who they're giving the ball quite a bit lately, and he's averaging over 7 yards a carry. But when you see an offensive coordinator have plays where he's running the wildcat and then they're splitting him out, running deep routes and trying to get matchups, I mean, you just don't see that. Where they put that much on a plate of a rookie, and Bruce Arians is doing it for him.
Yeah. You know, we talked earlier, too. You know, the combine results said he ran a 4.58. You know, we're learning that he had a strain, a muscle strain during that time. All I can tell you is on tape, he doesn't look like 4.58. He's very fast. And some of the route concepts, when you come out of the backfield and run a deep seven cut or, you know, a 20-yard route downfield, that tells us they know he has speed. And he has created matchup issues on linebackers. So all that put together with the 7-yard average, you know, a very explosive back and a guy that's doing good things for him.
And you're going to have to get that front to play much like they did last week. I thought Sendarek Marks played a really strong game. Jeremy Mincy gave you some stuff. And you know, you've always talked to the fans and spoken about gap-and-a-half players. And
yeah.
Sendarek Marks had a couple instances in that game where he was a gap-and-a-half player. And explain that to people what that is.
Well, you know what? Sometimes in a 4-3 defense, everybody's responsible for a certain gap. And you're really counting on whichever gap it goes into, the run play, that person has to make the play. And what was taking place a little bit with us was that if that person got cut or, you know, they got into his feet and he couldn't utilize his hands, he was the only guy left to make the play. And it would spring up to our safeties. So we really challenged our guys not only to take care of their responsibilities in their gap, but stay active. You know, use your hands, shed the block, and come back and fall back and try to help. And, you know, that helped, obviously, in the game against Tennessee.
We kind of use that as a little self-plug there, because tomorrow Film Room Friday going to show the Senderic Marks gap in a half play.
There you go, man.
But, you know, I mean, those kind of plays are so critical.
He's always motivated for
are so critical because, you know, when you look at the Dwayne Grotz interception, that was a 2nd and 13. So I go back to the play before that where Russell Allen, Mincy, and everybody did a great job of getting a tackle for a loss to set up that next play that Grotz got the pick.
It really was. You know, if you look at another thing we saw in self-scouting, and you look at it every week, but when you put it together in all one time, you found out that we had a lot of 3rd and 1 to 4s. And it's too many, you know, 50-some opportunities through 8 games. And, you know, it told us that we have to play better on 1st and 2nd down and to get them in 3rd and long situations. So it's a classic example, 1st and 10, 2nd and 12. Now we give them an opportunity to throw. We know they're going to throw. We get an interception.
You know, one of the things that you talked about last Sunday during the game was the rotation up front and how you kept rotating guys through. And maybe for the first time all season, you were consistent with your rotation.
Yeah, you know what? We really have to build depth. For Senderic Marks to play 65 plays or 70 plays a game, you know, you can get away with that for a couple games, but in the long course of the season, it's really tough. So we knew that we had to develop some depth. In order to develop depth, you have to play guys. And those guys are going to make some mistakes, but you hope through playing time that they get to where you can trust them.
We just got done talking about the Cardinals' offense, and we haven't even mentioned Larry Fitzgerald yet. I mean, what's the story
that's
with him?
That's from 6:30 to 7.
You could go that long.
I mean, do we have time to go there? Because, I mean, we're talking a potential Hall of Fame player. And you look at the last 3 games, he's got, what, 8 or 9 catches for less than 90 yards and a touchdown. What's going on with Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, he's that type of player now. I can remember when I was in Seattle, he had 3 receptions, 4 receptions, and he had 11 against us 1 year. And he can turn it on like that. So you just know Larry Fitzgerald is that good of a player. You always have to be aware he is on the field. They move him around. You're going to see him at Z, at H, at X. They move him around trying to find matchups and to get him opportunities for targets. And, you know, you can see it on tape, and there's no doubt we'll see it in the game.
You know, folks out here have only seen him twice in person, actually once in 2009. And on TV occasionally, although the Cardinals have not really been featured recently on national TV, he is as effortless a receiver as I think there is in the league.
He really is, and that's what we have to caution our corners with, because he'll lull you to sleep and then make a big play. And it always seems like with Larry, just for playing him, it's always at the opportune time for them. A critical 3rd down, a critical 2-minute drive. He always comes up in the red zone. You know, they'll put him at the tight end spot, flex him out, put him one-on-one with the safety. You know, they'll give him those opportunities in critical times.
And, you know, you've got a guy on your staff that knows him very well in Jerry Sullivan.
Yeah.
Is there anything he can share with the defensive backs about this guy that would help you this week? Or do they all know, watch enough tape?
Yeah, well, Jerry holds him in high regard, obviously, you know, and thinks that he's a very good player, great route runner, understands, you know, what he needs to do based on coverages. So, you know, those things you can see on tape, but Jerry just reemphasizes it.
And I think Cecil Shorts and a couple of your other guys actually worked with him the last few years.
You know what, and you can see a trademark Jerry Sullivan type receiver. You know, they're real disciplined, they're on it, they're good route runners, and that's what you're seeing in Larry.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, and folks, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, everything you're looking for, stop by your neighborhood Gate today. We're back with more with head coach Gus Bradley after this on Jaguars Radio. The Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by our friends at PRI Productions. Back with the head coach of the Jaguars. You could join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Time to squeeze a couple of calls in here. Bob's on the south side of Jacksonville. And first up this evening, Bob, welcome to the Gus Bradley Show.
Hi there. First of all, congratulations, coach. Great job.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
And Brian, great job of announcing. I love hearing you. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Coach, what I was wondering is, as teams, could be any team in the NFL, as you start to lose, what's the tension like? And I use Houston as an example. I see Ed Reed sounded off, and he mentioned coaching. I mean, does it get tense to where, you know, and then Tampa Bay, I've seen some comments about them. What's that like when you start losing? And, you know, does there rumblings and does it get real tense or what happens?
Well, you know, Bob, I can't speak for those two places, but I can tell you this, that when we talk about, hey, you got to develop the culture or, you know, really get the culture going in your locker room and your organization, and those things are so important, and that is for that very reason. It, you know, a good, strong culture can withstand some of those things, and that's the importance of it. I can just go off of ours, and our guys have been outstanding, I mean, through the whole thing. And I think, you know, and you say, oh, how do you know, Gus? Well, when they demonstrate it in a game, you know, like they did in Tennessee, where they came out and you saw them play spirited, you saw them play aggressive, you saw them, you know, that shows conviction. And I think that displays it more than anything.
The perfect example that comes to my mind is that you've got a corner in Will Blackman who loses his job because you've got a rookie that you obviously feel real good about. So he's demoted. He's not even going to play nickel because Mike Harris is playing it. Then he gets an opportunity to play nickel, and all of a sudden he makes a game-changing play at the end. I mean, to me, if there was ever an example of your culture about making sure that everybody takes advantage of their opportunities, Will Blackman would be it.
A great example. Now, you know, that's what you're trying to build, a culture in this competitive atmosphere where they're pulling for each other, you know, and that goes back to you're not competing against anybody else other than yourself. And you just keep talking about that. And then, you know, when other guys are in there, you're actually pulling for them, and you want them to do well. And I think that's how our team is. You know, I could be mistaken, but that's sure how it feels.
You know, you do things so differently in terms of establishing the culture, and we've talked about it a little bit here and there. I've noticed in your news conferences, you've even subtly worked the media. They don't ask you the same questions anymore. I mean, you've kind of gotten them to a point they understand the way that you think. My question is, you got a lot of guys in that locker room that have been other places, and coaches don't think like that. How long did it take your players to understand what you were looking for?
Well, I'm not sure they still know. You know, it is a process, but I think that the biggest thing for me and our staff to be is show consistency. And, you know, that's what I think players appreciate more than anything. They know that when they come into the building, what are they going to get from our staff? And what are they going to get from me as the head coach? And I think that's the part that I think you have to be consistent. And it's really got to be genuine. It's got to be you. And if they can count on those things, I think that's really important.
355 NFL 1.
Going back to Will Blackman for a minute, did he maybe earn himself an opportunity to play nickel going forward with that play?
Yeah, you're going to see him playing more nickel. And again, it has nothing to do with Mike. It's just, you know, when players make plays, when they're on the field, you give them more opportunities.
Let's grab Hakeem, who joins us from the south side. Hello, Hakeem. You're on with the head coach.
Hey, guys. How are you today, man?
Good. How are you doing, Hakeem?
You know, I'm honored to. You know, you're the most positive person I have ever heard in my life. Man, I'm only 30, but, you know, you're – it's amazing how positive a guy you are. I'm amazed every time I hear you. But let me ask you this. I hope Paz plays this week, by the way. I mean, I love the guy and how he plays football. But let me ask you this. As a Jaguar fan, when you heard Carson Palmer say what he said about us, the fans, does that get the guys more riled up? You know, because we do show up every week. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a Jaguar fan for a long, long time. And what does that tell your guys, like, to play better for us at home? Because we haven't played really good at home. So have you talked to the guys about that, what Carson Palmer said?
Right. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you the truth on it, Hakeem. They are aware of it. I have not talked about it in the locker room. What I have talked about is more about us and our fans. And I've talked to our guys about, hey, we got to capture this opportunity to be at our best at home. It's so important for us to capture this again, not only for us, but for our fans. And that's really the reason why I want them to do it, regardless of what Carson Palmer says or not. And I think if we do that, it'll become stronger. Now, for the fans.
I was going to say, this is for them.
Yeah, now for the fans, they read that and they take it to heart.
Bring it.
You know, that's right. That's right. Help us along.
You've always been that way, though. I mean, you don't put a lot of emphasis on the opponents and outside things. You try to make sure that the focus is kept within.
Right. In all actuality, we want to play the best. We want to play the better teams, and we want Arizona to come in here and be at their best, because that's how we get better. It's that simple. And so we don't worry about the opponent. We can't control that, but that's what we want. We want Larry Fitzgerald to come in ready to go and Carson Palmer ready to go and Ellington, because that's a great challenge for us. And when you play teams like that, it raises your play up as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, that culture that you're starting to develop here. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. The Gus Bradley Show brought to you every Thursday evening by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished, and we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, so on Monday, was in here getting ready for Jaguars Monday, and Jeff stuck his head in, and I, you know, he's watched the tape, and I normally just ask him a couple of questions about the upcoming opponent. He started with Andre Ellington. The word he used was fun to watch, the term he used, I should say. And then he quickly turned to the defense. And, Logs, I'll let you take it from here, but this is a defense that not a lot of people came into the year talking about. They're looking at him now, and I know you know him well, Coach.
That's Calais Campbell, Darnell Dockett. Starts up front, they play real well up front.
Yeah, their front seven is very, very good. Starting off with their defensive line, you know, Dan Williams, you know, the whole clan up there is very good. So I think that's a front seven group that's very formidable to a lot of teams like Kansas City, you know, teams like that we played.
And they don't get a lot of notoriety because of their Arizona Cardinals. I mean, until you win and you start getting on national TV, not a lot of people end up watching you. But the guy that also stood out in that front seven was Darrell Washington, a linebacker that had missed the first four games with a suspension. He looks like he can do it all.
Yeah, very effective. I remember him coming out from TCU and, you know, a fast, explosive-type linebacker. I think really what's probably the most impressive thing with their defense is the number of turnovers, too, they've gotten.
20.
You know, 20 turnovers thus far, you know, and that's what's impressive. And that's why we have to make smart decisions on our offense.
The offensive line in particular, Coach, with the front seven we're talking about, you watch the tape. How close to getting the running game clicking along like your defense did last week are you? I mean, how many steps until you see that be more consistent?
Right. Well, even though we ran the ball pretty, you know, decent at times last week, there's still room for improvement. You're seeing some missed opportunities there. And I think I said it in the beginning of the year, sometimes it takes 8, 9, 10 weeks to get the running game going where the communication and everything's in place. And that's if you have a consistent offensive line, if they're learning a new scheme for the first time. So we're still in that process. And, you know, this is why I say, you know, weeks like this when you're going against a defensive line like this, it will help us. It will help us get better. And, you know, I think our guys are really looking forward to the challenge.
I think you bring up a great point, because one of the first things that I always do kind of as week's preparation is I always look at the start chart for the opponent to see what kind of consistency they've had. And I mainly look on the offensive side of the ball because it matters so much more on that side of the ball. And the perfect example is 49ers. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers had the same lineup with the exception of one game that Vernon Davis had gotten hurt in. But, I mean, offenses that have consistency, you look around the league, you look at the top offensive, most of them had the same lineup.
Yeah, it is. Communication, you know, it sounds like, well, how hard is that? Just communicate up front. Well, there's so many different looks, so many defenses that you see that, you know, it's challenging. And, you know, thankfully we have a guy like Brad Meester that can control all that. But he's, you know, at times he's communicating with different people. But we've had a couple weeks now with the same front.
I'm looking at the lineup right now. And Brad started every game. Uche started every game. Besides that?
Right.
That's it, right?
That's right. Where Brewster stepped in, you know, last week, and then the two tackles. So, yeah, it is, and that's where we're growing. We're seeing signs. We're seeing the communication. We're seeing the aggressiveness. We're seeing the understanding. And, you know, now we just got to keep guys healthy so we can continue to grow with it.
You know, what are the chances that you could get a catch like the one that Mercedes Lewis, catch and run, had early on in that ball game at Tennessee? It was for 27 yards. It felt like it was for 57 yards. He was fighting so hard.
Right. You know what? What a great display. You know, and he has not done that in practice because he really hasn't had the opportunity. And then for him to catch it, it just really illustrated his mentality. And again, the spirit, you know, the coming to the game, the belief, the validation of what we believe, and to go out there and play with that type of freedom, it's awesome.
Well, and for him in particular, I mean, we are so used to talking about him in terms of being a dominant point of defensive attack blocker and a guy that can take the best pass rusher the other team has to offer and block him and keep him from being a factor. But when you see him out in the route and doing those kinds of things, you think, boy, I'd like to see more of that.
Right. You know, and the talk that I had with the guys before the game was, you know, you don't have to be Superman. We're not asking you to be that. We're just asking you to be the best that you can. But he kind of
looks like Superman.
And so, on that, you want him to be Superman if he can do that every week.
I think I saw a cape coming out of the back of that jersey.
Well, just that big guy back there for your quarterback standing in the pocket to have the ability to get out there. And for the offensive tackles, you're playing with two guys that, you know, weren't starting offensive tackles early in the year. To have a guy like that in the middle of the field helps everybody.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, and now the challenge for Mercedes is to go again this week and play his best, you know, and elevate his play.
And at the wide receiver position last week, you had Cecil, Mike Brown, Ace Sanders, Stephen Burton. Now Stephen Burton possibly going to be out. If he is, where do you go? Because Steven Williams has been on the injury report, and the only other option is Kerry Taylor, right, who you guys end up getting from the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, how about that story? I mean, Kerry Taylor's got a good chance to be out for us and play some this week against his old team. So, you know, that part's really cool. And, you know, I know it was all unfortunate with the Justin Blackmon situation, and, you know, we're pulling for him. But I think another cool illustration is someone stepped up. You know, someone will step up, and then it's their opportunity to make plays. And that's what a guy like Mike Brown has done. And that's really what you're looking for when you say, what does get better look like? Well, it looks better when, like, get better looks like when Mike Brown catches 7 catches for 100 yards. And you know, that's how it feels. And Austin Pastore and Cam Bradfield, they step up, and, you know, you're getting better. And I think those are all cool illustrations.
Brown, by the way, has 15 catches on the season. Of course, he missed 4 games with that broken,
lumbar
fracture. Ouch. But of those 15 catches, 6 have been for at least 19 yards.
Right.
I mean, this is not a guy with great speed, but clearly he's got something in the field, Coach, where he is able to keep on going.
Yeah, you know what? I think the quarterbacks are gaining a lot of trust in him. You know, they know that they can go to him, and he's going to make the play for them. It might not be exactly right on, but they trust him. And, you know, I think whenever you can develop that, it's just it creates another option for Chad.
All right, don't forget, Saturday, Coach, you and I will be here for McKenzie's Run. You're the honorary
coach.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this now.
Yeah, you will be amazed at how many people they can put on the street out there. It's a great run for an amazing group of folks at McKenzie'sRun.org. If you're coming out to enjoy it, we'll see you on Saturday morning, rather, for the 5K run and walk. 1 mile fun run to benefit programs that help youth recognize their full potential. Again, register your team at McKenzie'sRun.org. Back after this, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the Jaguars head coach sitting here taking your calls, questions, and comments. 800-355-6351, 355-NFL1. You know, normally we get to the end of the show, we start talking about special teams. We can't do that this week because these guys have a tremendous special teams unit. Whether we're talking about Patrick Peterson returning punts, he's a Pro Bowler at that. But the guy that's really interesting is Justin Bethel, the reserve corner. 10 special teams tackles on the year, 2 blocked field goals, and he's down punts. He personally inside the 20 at the 4, the 13, the 7, the 6, and the 1. I mean, this is an impact guy.
You know what? They've done a really good job assembling a special teams unit. They've got a lot of guys that are 4 core guys. They've got tremendous speed. They've got length. They've got size. They really have put it together. And then on top of it, the skilled guys like Patrick and the Honey Badger, you know, who will take an occasional rep back there. But to have those guys, they can really change the momentum of a game.
Do you know any of their coaches? I mean, Bruce Arians, obviously the head coach, was in Indianapolis last year. Do you know anybody else on staff?
I've talked to Bruce. And so, you know, and I haven't looked through all of them to know them. But I'm sure there are some on there that we know.
Everybody knows Tom Moore.
Yeah, Tom Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton Manning and him were together for, I don't know, 100 years?
You know, and when you 13. Study offenses, you know, like we did, you know, we say, okay, what's, you know, it obviously it's going to be different than what we faced when I was in Seattle. But there's some similarities. It's almost like Larry said, well, I like these type concepts, and they put those in, and then they said, okay, those are in, now we're going to put in our offense. And it feels really Pittsburgh-ish, you know, when Bruce was there. you know, some of the same concepts and same style of runs.
Well, you bring in Rashad Mendenhall, it sure does look a little bit like Pittsburgh,
right,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
and
but
we talk about Ellington so much. Mendenhall's a power back in his own right.
Right, but then you wonder how much influence Coach Moore has had. You know, he was at Indianapolis, and
he was at Pittsburgh at one
time,
too.
So you're trying to piece it together, but you know, you get a feel.
How about Carson Palmer?
He's done a nice job for him. I'll tell you what, you know, obviously they're not going to run the read option, and scramble. If he scrambles, it's to throw, it's not to run. That gives you an idea about him. But very accurate passer. The deep ball, the Bruce Arians, by the nature of, you know, his background, he loves to take shots. He loves to, you know, throw the deep ball. And that's where Carson, you'll see him hit and miss on those opportunities. Good enough to do it. But then, you know, he likes the more intermediate routes.
Yeah, the one guy that I think they're probably lacking for that is a guy that has great vertical speed. Malcolm Floyd got banged up a little bit last week, but the guy that kind of intrigues me is Andre Roberts, the guy who played a lot more last week because Michael Floyd ended up going out with an AC sprain. He showed up.
Well, and not only Andre, but they do have some vertical speed with Teddy Williams and Britton. Those two guys, when they come on the field, you know, they're both track athletes.
So you're saying there's a siren going off, ding,
yeah,
ding, hey,
you know,
hey.
But they've got tremendous speed. So, you know, that's, you know, when they like to go vertical, that, you know, those guys have a possibility. But Andre's been in the league for what, 3-4 years now, 4 years I think, and he's an exceptional receiver and does a nice job, you know, regardless of if Floyd plays or not.
And since we're talking about that, last week you platooned Josh Evans, the rookie from Florida, and the youngster from Kentucky, Winston Guy. I think it was a, you know, 2-1. Evans still saw the predominance of the action. How'd that work out for you? What'd you see from Winston Guy?
I thought it was good. I thought it was good for our team. You know what? It gives more guys ownership, you know, and I think and it helps morale. You know, when a guy's practice squad or if he's just, you know, doing a service squad. But now all of a sudden he knows he's going to get, even if it's 10 reps, you just go into the game with a different mentality. And I think it's been really good for our teams. So, you know, like John Latulé, you know, for him to get an opportunity to play 10, 12 reps. And I think it made Russell better because of it.
Right. I'm looking at the linebackers, and, you know, you're talking about Russell Allen, if he has to move into the Mike position, which is Posluszny's spot. Lotulelei, I'm assuming, would take the weak side spot.
Yep.
And so I'm always looking, you know, heaven forbid you get an injury. The next man up is Nate Stupar, yeah, a guy that you just got, a week ago?
Yeah. Can we talk about this at 6:58? No,
I'm
just
kidding.
Does
that make you a little nervous?
You know what? It does. But, you know, Nate is a guy that has played some football and been around some different schemes. Now, he has had, what, 4 days or 5 days of practice with us, so that part is tough. And that's why you saw us move Russell over there. But we can do some things, you know, if an injury like that should occur, if we don't have Puz, then you can look at, okay, who's our Mike in base, and then who's our Mike in nickel. And you can kind of shorten the learning curve.
All right, you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show. Sunday, you'll listen to the Jaguars right here on these Jaguars Radio Network stations. For those of you in Jacksonville, the Public's Tailgate Show begins at 10 a.m. followed by Jaguars pregame, where we pick up the entire network at noon, then kickoff on Military Appreciation Day, presented by CSX and Florida Blue, comes at 1 o'clock. And, of course, you'll hear all the action right here. We'll take a break and return. More with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
A little less than 10 minutes left with the head coach of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman alongside 355 NFL1. Coach, let's talk about quarterbacks, yours in particular now.
Okay.
This would be the fifth straight start for Chad Henne since he took over late in the ball game in St. Louis when Blaine got hurt. Has done some nice things, thrown for more than 300 yards a couple times, but just one touchdown pass and five interceptions. How do you challenge him now this week after those two picks a week ago to take his game to the next level?
Well, you know, one of the things that we talked about too within our team is, you know, to stay away from the fear of failure. And you have to take some chances. Now, we want good chances and we want good risks. And, you know, so it's hard. Hey, when you do that, sometimes things happen. Now, the first interception we throw, obviously that we can't have. But there's going to be some. We want him to challenge him on making good decisions. And with that, sometimes those things can happen. And I think Chad's getting a better grasp of the offense because of it. And he's getting, you know, feeling that more freedom and to take chances, what we need to become more explosive. So we're just going to really guide him along in that. But
we did get you more production in the red zone last week.
Yeah,
two of
did.
Three.
Yeah, that's right. And then the one drive in the second half. You know, we started off, we had the drive, he was 4 for 4 for 60 yards. You know, those are all good signs. And rather than, you know, lose it on him for those two things, we really want to continue the growth.
You know, we've been talking about the Jaguars, your offense, about how the lineup has been so different from week to week to week. How has that been on your offensive coordinator, Jed Fish? I mean, what a challenge.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, his biggest thing is to create continuity. And with the quarterback, too, you can imagine he's throwing a different style of receivers, you know, that run their routes, hopefully the same, but there's some uniqueness to it. So to get that continuity with different receivers, now Kerry's going to get his opportunity. We had Burton last week, now Kerry, and now, you know, Ace is back at H. And, you know, it's just to try to get these guys at normal positions to where we can count on where they're going to be. And, you know, the quarterback can appreciate that as well.
All right, one more segment with head coach Gus Bradley. And you can join us at 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We're back to HananiaAutos.com studios inside Everbank Field right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap up another Gus Bradley show with the head coach from the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. Sexton and Loggeman alongside. For those of you in Jacksonville, Jaguars Thursday with Tony Boselli and Mark Brunell begins promptly at 7:03. So hang on for that one. We'll have plenty to talk about tonight. Coach, you know, your football team comes home, and we talked about the home crowd when Carson Palmer made his comment earlier this week, but the reality of it is that you have said over and over and over you really want to build that winning culture in the stadium here on Sunday afternoons.
Well, I think it's so important to own our home field, and you know, it's our job really to do that and to create that type of fan atmosphere. Won't it be cool when we get this thing going on third downs that, you know, it's so loud that they have false starts, or, you know, where you really gain that advantage. And, you know, that's on us to do that as a team. And at the end of every practice, that's what we talk about. You know, we get together, we turn, we look to the stadium, and it represents opportunity for us. And, you know, an opportunity to be even better and to play at our best and really challenge ourselves to raise that bar another level. And that's really what our focus is on, not only for ourselves, but for our fans.
And the more plays you make, the louder it gets.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and you know, to get a lead, you know, to get a lead. And I know our fans. I know what they're like. And I know that, you know, we give them some juice, they'll come back with it.
Do you know, we're talking about week 11 in the National Football League, and you've only been home 3 times. I mean, it feels like
you said you wanted something to laugh about.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, there you go. I mean, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Been a month.
Yeah, it has, and that's why I think you cherish these opportunities. And, you know, we don't want to get crazy on it. We just want to come in there and just, you know, it's just like playing on the road. It's another opportunity for us, and we'll compete anywhere, anytime, and this week it just happens to be at home.
And conversely, the Cardinals haven't left home since October the 13th. So you got a little bit of juxtaposition there this week.
Yeah. No, yeah, it really is. We're so excited about this. Everything that's going on, Military Appreciation Day, game at home, you know, fans into it. It's awesome.
I'm kind of chuckling at Carson Palmer's comments. I mean, you turn on the film and they're at home, and I'm going, is this preseason? Looking in the stands in Arizona.
Well,
what is he talking about?
You're talking about a guy that was in Cincinnati and Oakland too, which are, you know, smaller markets like this one that have worked hard to be competitive in the stands. So you know, it's the first time I guess he could make a chide comment. So let him do it.
I know.
Show him on the field.
But, you know, when quarterbacks talk like that, I mean, as a defensive lineman, I mean, that's just, you know, that's just juice.
Yeah.
Well,
I can't tell you what Todd Wash is saying.
Well, I thought you were going to make a comment about his school. With Boselli sitting there right there behind you. All right, Jaguars Thursday is next. Coach, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you
very much.
Best
of luck on Sunday against the Cardinals.
Thank you.
And we will take this time out. For those of you on the network, thanks for joining us for the Gus Bradley Show. For those of you on our flagship station, News Talk WOKV, we'll see you in a couple minutes.